This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott, we made it hour number three. When it's hour number three, what does that mean?
It's the power hour,
I wonder, like, if the gong sounds really good on your car speakers.
Oh, man, that's like hitting
the... You know what I mean?
Hit the trembles. Like that's in the tremble. Is like, that bass
like,
or a tremble?
Like, when we hit this...
Somebody be like, oh, they feel like they're about to go to a Mr. Miyagi movie.
I'm curious. Like, tweet at us if, like, that just sounds great. Or if it sounds awful, I'd like to know that, too. Like, when Bart's playing videos in the middle of the show.
No, I was doing my research on Luka and Booker and the rivalry.
Yes, there is one. So, our games tonight, like I mentioned, you've got the Bucks and the Celtics. That game you can hear on ESPN Radio. You've got the Warriors and the Grizzlies as the second game. Now, the elimination game is the second one. The Warriors in Memphis tonight can eliminate the Grizzlies. No Ja Morant. And this is the worst part of it, right? When you get this medical update yesterday and you were wondering, you know, will Ja come back in the series? And the Grizzlies, if you, you know, didn't hear it yet, they put out a statement saying that he left the game with right knee soreness. You remember, and the whole Jordan Poole grabbed his knee and ripped him, you know, whatever. They said he underwent an MRI and subsequent evaluation revealed a bone bruise in his right knee.
Yeah.
So he's doubtful for the remainder of the postseason.
Yeah.
That's the part that gets you. Not the series.
Yeah.
He's doubtful for the remainder of the postseason, which suggests we won't see him again. Now, explain the bone bruise aspect here. What exactly is that?
You usually get bone bruise from hyperextension, right? Which is what I really thought that the injury came from to begin with.
When he defended the Klay Thompson?
Right. Because when you talk about the pull by pull, that suggests that usually that's meniscus or MCL or something like that, something that has to deal with the stability of the knee on the sides. But when you bone bruise, that's strictly from a hyperextension. So that just tells you that the injury didn't come from Poole. It came from another play. Maybe on that play when he had his foot hyperextended all the way out, and then it got hit and it kind of shook. But it's not from the grab, which is what we thought was the malicious type of act, which it really wasn't. So it can't tell you it comes from that. And you don't want to have Ja out there with a compromised knee because you know how explosive he is. He jumps. He's the future. At this point, you can recognize down 3-1, you're probably not going to win the title. So let's live to fight another day. Let's get as much experience as we can so that we can go back. And now you have a built-in excuse and belief in your head that, man, we could have beat him. We should have beat him, but we lost our leader, Ja. Opposed to losing with your leader, then you're just saying they're just better than us. See, so now you got that face. See, a lot of times you have to lie to yourself, and coaches can lie to yourself, and then you pump teams up to think that, hey, we can beat this team. We should have beat this team. So then you go into to the next season with that same energy. So this is an unfortunate thing because you never want – you're a star not to be able to continue to build and go down fighting with his teammates. You would like to think that if Ja was there last game, you had a better chance of winning it in a close game. But now at this point, you ride off into the sunset to say, we got some work to do. Let's get some veteran leadership, you know, over there, some people with some experience. Yep. A guy like Iguodala who didn't want to come. Mm-hmm. You know, can't bring a guy like
Russ. Didn't want to be there,
right. Yeah, but you got to go get a veteran guy, Al Horford, somebody like that that's been through some of the battles. To provide that leadership and experience when you get to that same situation next year.
All right, but you're talking with, and they said he's expected to make a full recovery.
Yeah, bone bruise, no.
And you also, you know, are talking about next year and running it back, and then also trying to learn from what you learned from this year.
Yeah.
Am I overstating when I say, why do I have these lingering Derrick Rose concerns?
Yep.
Because the knee injury happens.
And Westbrook.
And he's all athletic. And that's a huge part of his game is how fast he is, how explosive and bouncy he is.
Yeah.
And now a knee injury happens. Now, you said it's not a big deal. Bone bruise. You're saying that's not a big deal. And I'm saying that's knee injury. That's actually not even knee injury one. Like, he's had soreness. He's had this and that. I can't help it. And this is not wanting it to happen. This is fear of a player that I love watching.
Yeah.
I just feel like we've seen this movie before. Derrick Rose was literally the same thing. Bouncy,
Westbrook
exciting,
too.
Just all over the, just so fast. And then that's when the knee hit for Derrick Rose, the knee injury really just changed everything for him. For Russell Westbrook,
MVP.
The injuries just started to slow him down. no one wants to see this happen to John Morant. No one. But am I crazy to say that this already has me kind of giving, having lingering concerns about him?
It's the biggest fear, and I think you have a conversation with Ja, too, about being explosive and picking your spots.
Yes.
Being able, instead of going to the hole all the time, being able to get a drive stop bank shot, a drive teardrop,
yep.
a drive pull up, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to keep going all the way in amongst the trees, finishing over the top of them and falling, hitting the ground, and getting back up. Like, at some point, you got to take some of the wear and tear off your body because you're not going to be built for long. He's going to be a supernova. It's going to be beautiful while it lasts, but it won't last long if he keeps playing that way. We said that a lot about Allen Iverson, but even Allen wasn't going trying to dunk on people. Like, Josh trying to dunk over people.
He was crashing to the court so much. That was the thing with AI.
Right, but you know, Josh trying to dunk over big people.
Yep.
Right? And all it takes is one of those, you know, you try and jump, you mistime it, or you hit him on the way up, and you flip over, and you land, you break your wrist.
And no one wants to see this. That's the thing. Now, keep in mind, too, he's due, like all the guys from his draft class, for his extension when this season's over.
Oh, yeah, you give it, Matt.
It's
Memphis ain't
remember,
having good things.
He will probably be all NBA, which opens up not just the 180 that you know, Zion and RJ will be open
they hoping
to.
He not 180. They hoping he not all NBA.
He could get 5 years, 217.
They hoping that he not that. They robbed you. Ooh, thank God. It's like one of those things. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
They robbed you, John. Yeah, well, they pay me like they robbed. No, I got to go with the book.
$217 million.
He's worth every penny.
Over 5 years. I agree. He's box office.
The problem is.
But the injury thing does have you just sort of like. It's almost like not if it happens. It feels like when, because of the way he plays and the history of players who play that way, it eventually gets you.
Well, you have that conversation when you're hoping that he's more like Westbrook and not more like Derrick Rose.
Oh, God, no.
It's Andrew. You hope
that was
that,
catastrophic
hey,
what happened to Derrick Rose.
And you know, in Westbrook, it didn't seem to slow him down that much, right? You know what I mean? And it was happening a lot later.
It did happen later. That's right. That's the wear and tear finally was catching up to him. That part is true. But
you have
like
to
I said, am I overstating? I can't help it. And I'm only just being honest with everybody. It's not like I'm trying to create a conversation about it. I'm just being honest. I read that statement. And I just thought it right away, like, and I didn't want to tweet it. I thought, should I tweet it? And like, no. There's no reason to tweet this. It's not necessary, but it is on my mind. And I just wonder how many other people have it on their mind as well. That you look at it and you say, no. Let's not have another Derrick Rose here with this guy.
But here it is, too. Like, this is the thing, right? Because I think you have a very, very small window with this team. Right, and I say that because
with the Grizzlies,
With the Grizzlies, you have a very small window
because like they're young.
Because they're young, but what happens when you're young? You all come of age at the same time.
Well, $217 million suddenly changes things for a small market team like that.
Right, but what I'm saying is, right, Jaren Jackson before you know it to be up. Dylan Brooks before you know it to be up.
Yep.
And that's kind of like
Desmond
the big
Bane.
Three, Desmond Bane
third
as well.
Year.
So like you got all three of these guys that's going to be coming up around the same time, and you're going to lose one of them. And will this be a cautionary tale? Because when I look at the Memphis Grizzlies, who do you think I'm looking at? I'm looking at the OKC Thunder, right? I'm looking at all stars. And they picked wrong. They went with the big man instead of going with James Harden.
Serge Ibaka.
They stayed with Serge Ibaka. They should have stayed with James Harden. And that could have been the first Splash Brothers. Could you imagine if it would have been Harden?
Yeah.
Durant and Westbrook.
But would Harden have become the Harden that
we
know with Mike D'Antoni?
Yes, we saw it in spurts. Because
but
listen,
the Mike D'Antoni one, that was a completely different player.
Why did they stay with Serge Ibaka? Because at that time, it was still about the big man.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about we're
defense
in the era.
At the rim.
They would have been the first team at the beginning of the era with positionless type of basketball, where it would have been more about who's the big man they used to have back then outside of him? Then they had, like, the dude, Captain America, the captain, he looks like...
Steven Adams?
Yeah, Steven Adams.
You mean Aquaman?
Yeah, he looks like Aquaman. Yeah. He looks like Aquaman's husband.
What?
Aquaman's, Lisa Bonet's husband.
Gotcha.
That played Aquaman. He looks like him to me all the time.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that dude. Yeah, why would I know that dude name?
Aquaman's husband, though, caught me off guard for a minute
because
I didn't know Aquaman. You know, I mean, look, it's a new world.
Certain comics.
I just didn't know. I didn't know that maybe that was a new thing.
But
I'm not,
you know what I mean?
Just
imagine if they would have stayed with that, right? And they would have had the first team that was able to spread the floor. They would have been the first Golden State, I believe, if they would have stayed together because they would have had three skilled position players that would open up the court when people were still walking around with Dwight Howard and big men like
that. And that franchise, Oklahoma City, they weren't going to spend. They would not, that's another one that you can't sustain
that
kind of spending. Will Memphis be able to do the same to keep this group together?
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I see. When I look at Memphis, I see OKC. And will they stay with the big three, the big man, or will they get rid of the big man?
Yeah.
Which, who's the big man? Jared Jackson?
Yeah, well, he's there. He's well. They have, ironically or coincidentally, Stephen Adams is on the Grizzlies.
but you know what I'm saying? Because they're gonna have to pick. It's four. It's four young, talented players. They're gonna have to get rid of one.
Yeah. Well, that's usually what you
choose
get to.
Choose wisely.
But it's good to be in that place. That means you've been drafting well. Yeah, that means you've been developing well.
Yeah, it's good and bad though, because now you play job.
Can I ask you a question?
That means the clock started.
You just explained something. Like, you just described something as a team that drafted well, have players, developed them up, and did a good job over like a 4 or 5 year span, right?
Yep.
How come the Knicks can't do that? The Knicks had four. The Knicks had four straight years of lottery picks in the top 10. And we're not saying, "Oh my God, they're going to have to pay Kevin Knox."
Yeah, Kevin
Knox. They traded
him
away.
Ntilikina. Just imagine if those players
they
were.
They might have to pay. Who was it?
Ntilikina.
Yeah, Ntilikina is now. Look where he is.
Right.
At this point.
They should have.
He's become a role player, so, which we knew he'd be.
Okay, listen. So just imagine if these picks with the Knicks, and I know you hate going with this exercise.
Oh, please,
if that was Donovan Mitchell.
Don't hurt me.
If Knox, who was there with Knox?
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
And that would have been and also the kid that's in with the Pacers, Halliburton.
That was Obi Toppin's draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm keeping it going, son.
All right, guys.
I'm saying
that
would have been the four.
Please keep it going. We had a great conversation about the Jets, and you're going to do this to me now talking Knicks. I just had to deal. We're going to get into it later.
Okay, is it
I
too
had
early?
To do
it.
Jay Will giving me this whole crazy three-team thing to do.
Is it too early for the Rally Rat, or are we going to hold the Rally Rat?
We'll get to as well.
Okay.
I promise we'll get to Rally
Rats. I love the Rally Rat. I'm so cute.
You do.
I would know it would have been great if a hawk came and picked his ass up. That would have been the greatest moment in sports history.
It's like everybody's going, oh, look at Rally. Oh, my God.
A bald eagle.
But you know what?
A bald.
Well, it's in D.C. The game was in D.C. But hilarious if a bald eagle came and swooped down and took the rat. Here's your Rally Rat. But speaking of New York basketball teams, we did hear from the leadership of the other, not Knicks, but the Brooklyn Nets, and you'll hear what was said there.
Man.
And also hear what Kyrie had to say about his critics. As he said,
the
cockroaches.
One, the one has spoken.
Cockroaches.
He's like Neil from The Matrix. He's the one.
Oh, yeah. Sure is the one. Coming up again, would you pay Kyrie? Would you pay James Harden? We'll talk about that after we remind you, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
This sounds like some Ocean 11 music.
It does. I think this, isn't this?
It's like some Ocean 10, Ocean 11.
It sounds like Ocean's 11 where they're...
Like when they were putting some plan together.
Yeah, got split screen.
This is exactly what it sounds like.
We're in Barney. One of my favorite lines.
Remember
Barney Rubble. Trouble.
Yeah, remember when they put Bernie Mac into the office.
And
they talk about like color.
Call it White Jack.
You call it White Jack.
What did you call me? Like they.
We've always been for the advancement of color. Say it again. Say it one more time.
Oh, my God. That was Matt Damon, right?
Yes.
And Matt Damon played that so perfectly. Like the scared, like.
Say it again. Say it again. Should call it White Jack.
White Jack. God bless Bernie Mac. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
See, Keyshawn, that's what fun sounds like.
That's what it's supposed to be. So General Manager Sean Marks spoke today of the Brooklyn Nets. And talked about, you know, again, where the direction of the franchise. Sam Mitchell was on with us, the former coach and NBA player, was on with us earlier in the show. And Sam had also participated in the press conference. I guess he watched it. And you heard him say, when you talk about the leadership issues with the Lakers, he's like, he was pointing to the same things happening with the Nets and how they were pressed to do things that they had a good roster and they blew it up. And now they're kind of stuck in a place where you're married to this now, what you've got, and it might not be enough to win a championship. So Sean Marks made it pretty clear that Kyrie Irving will have to prove a commitment to being available to the team that we didn't see this year. And we also remember, he didn't play in the bubble 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He opted out. Now, KD wasn't available because he was still hurt. But Kyrie decided, I'm not going
to
play.
Yeah, KD could, and then he tried to get other players not to play.
And then, remember last year, 2 years ago, remember he took the leave of absence, just kind of like, I need to get away.
Then we found him at his sister's birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah, just needed a mental break. And so I think the Nets have kind of made this clear that they're going to have to talk to him about, hey, listen, like they got to pay him. And that's why I asked the question. I mean, we know James Harden and all the issues in Philly right now. They've got to pay him. If you had to pay one of them, if you're Philly or if you're the Nets, who would you say, all right, I will pay this guy instead of that guy any day? Who would it be? Because these are two very difficult decisions to make by both these franchises. Yeah. But Mark said this about Kyrie and his commitment. I think those are going to be the discussions. It's a team sport, and you need everybody out there on the court. So he made that pretty clear, right? So you have that going on. And then in the meantime, you have Kyrie Irving via Twitch, of course, as he's playing. What was he playing? I think it was wasn't
Roblox.
Called, no, Roblox. No, it was what's the? Forget it.
Call of Duty.
No, I just said it wasn't that one.
Fortnite.
No, forget it.
I don't know.
Forget it.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Why did you say that? I just had a brain lock and I'm frustrated by it.
He's playing Doom.
Anyways, he's playing for Space Invaders. He's playing and he's talking and he's rambling on about things such as his critics.
What are you doing? Oh my god, go back to Cleveland. Oh my god, Boston hates you. Oh my god.
That's how y'all sound to me. Cockroaches.
Cockroaches.
That's how y'all sound to me.
But you said...
Kyrie, please read my comment.
How did he sound there, Bart?
Like mature? Title spoiled brat. Like, but he's in there playing video games, probably with people younger than him, or playing against Snoop.
Yeah, you know, it was GTA. By the way, it was GTA. I just had brain lock. Yes, good. I'm sorry.
Like in the metaverse, I think you can go in there, you can beat him up. I wonder how many people, like, if he playing GTA, everybody go try and beat up his character. You know what I'm saying? he can't ever play. They just, every time you get there, just everybody jump on, just shoot him. Bah, 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 bah. Shut up! You're dead. You're never gonna be able to play. You can't enjoy the universe.
Yeah, I mean,
can't come in the metaverse. You're not welcome.
It's like Fortnite where you just can't even land. They've already just beat the crap out of you. I mean, it's
tone deaf.
Is he just trying
it's,
to be?
It's,
is he
it's
just,
tone deaf. It's
but
tone
the fact
deaf.
Is also like you can't sound like it. You're 12 years old.
Yeah, but you can't say it. Like I'm sure he feels that way. He's frustrated, letting some frustration out. But you can't say it. You can't say it in a place where it's going to be.
Well, you know it's going to be recorded.
How it's going to be perceived. Like people that even they, when
this
they
is
know
your leader, by the way. This is a guy that's the face of your franchise. Like, I understand, but this is a $1 billion business, okay. And this is the guy that you're putting out in front. You are the Brooklyn Nets. You're Joe Tsai. You own this team, and that's the guy you're putting in front. That's the guy you're giving $50 million a year to, and you're just like, you're good with that, completely comfortable with it. This is the guy that's going to be the face, Kevin Durant, the face of your billion-dollar franchise.
Kevin Durant's our leader. That's probably what you're saying. Kevin
I'm
Durant's
just saying, like, this, like there are some things that you have to wonder to yourself, is this really what I want to do? But as I mentioned, we had Sam Mitchell
he's so much,
on earlier.
So much better. I pay him before, me and you didn't get to personally weigh in on who you would pay.
Yeah.
I would pay Kyrie because Kyrie's going to be good and got the capability physically. Now, mentally, we don't know. But physically, we know that
he, with the mentally, you
but,
don't know.
But I'm saying physically, we know that he has the ability to be better for longer than James Harden.
I'll explain why you're wrong. But first, let's just play Sam Mitchell, who basically said the Nets have no choice.
You got to sign Kyrie. I mean, he's just too talented. And you're kind of all in. When you broke this team up, to me, the best team on paper was the Brooklyn Nets before they made that trade all those guys for James Harden. You just think about it. Mm-hmm. Look at what has become of the players that they traded away. Look at Jared Allen.
Yep.
He's an all-star. Look at Caris LeVert. Look at all these guys, how they, the guys that got traded to Minnesota, how they played a significant role in helping the Timberwolves' first year run in the playoffs. So to me, they had a deep, well-balanced team, and they gave it all away for that pie in the sky.
Yeah, the pie in the sky, which so far hasn't worked out. Here's why you're wrong, why you say you would pay Kyrie. I know it goes against everything that I've said about him, but I would pay James Harden. Here's why. He plays. He plays.
Yeah.
The times that he hasn't played was either due to the injury or I want out of here.
Okay.
But he always plays.
Yeah, but do you think you have confidence that he's going to be Chris Paul and get in shape?
I don't have to worry about that.
Your hamstring doesn't get better as you get older. Just ask Kyle Lowry.
It's not about that. It's about who would I rather pay out of these two? And you said it yourself. You have no idea from day to day whether this dude's showing up to play or there's something going on in his life that he needs to take a step back.
Alan,
and isn't
going to
show
but
up.
How dare you? How dare you, Alan, use my own words against me? I cannot believe you went there. That's low.
It's just my way of winning the argument.
You don't use my own words against me. That's tell right. me what I said. How can I go against what I said? I can't repute what I said. I said it.
I mean, it's what you said. And
it's dirty politics.
Like I said, you were wrong. But you know what? Ronald in Florida has this to say about Kyrie Irving. Ronald.
Man. Yes, sir. Here we go. Here we go. Man, you guys are great. Okay. Kyrie Irving deserves a seat at that table, dude. Not only is Kyrie Irving the single greatest offensive player in the NBA, Kevin Durant completely defers to him. He has become the leader of the Nets. All of his weirdness, all of his quirkiness. In 2016, when KD was giving LeBron the business, Kyrie Irving completely exposed Stephen Curry, and he hit the shot to win the game. Kyrie Irving deserves a seat at that table.
KD wasn't on that team.
We ain't gonna say nothing about Draymond getting suspended.
Yeah,
right?
KD wasn't on that team. But Ronald, the thing is, though, thanks for the call. You're going to put Kyrie at a table with Giannis, LeBron,
Kevin Durant,
Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And the fifth guy you're putting at that table
can't do it
is Kyrie Irving. If you're just going based on just talent, like if life was a video game and he played up to his rating as a player only, I couldn't agree with you more. But then life isn't a video game.
You know the difference between every one of those? Every one of those people with the seat at the table, when they won their championship, they were the best player on their team. And I know that Stephen Curry won one when he had Kevin Durant twice.
Yeah.
But the first one, it was all Curry.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he showed us.
Andre Iguodala was the
MVP. It don't matter. Stop it. That was an admiration because he, like, played dead in front or stayed in front of LeBron and got a block.
Well, he locked him up, yeah.
Yeah, but we know that like Kyrie was the second best on a team that featured LeBron that won the title in Cleveland. So he has to lead one. That's what he was supposed to be going to the Nets to do, to show that he can lead and put his own super team together and win. And he doesn't understand leadership.
I'm telling you, both these franchises are in a tough spot. And the Nets are in a tough spot. Right. And Sean Marks can say all he wants about how we're going to have this conversation. If you think you're going to get an honest answer from him,
right,
just listen again to Kyrie talking about his critics on Twitch. Listen to him being in. That's as real as you'll get from him. That's who he is. That's the guy you're going to marry as a franchise. Yeah, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Celtics host the Bucks. It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Also, Jay Will had a trade idea that I want to run by Bart because I was kind of on the fence with it, and I thought about going with it. I want to see what you think of it next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
That's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. This is the time. We got your calls. We're going to get to those in a moment. This is the time of year, well, any time of year, really, we love to just play with the trade machine, right? You know, what can work? You know, teams that have an issue, let's get a couple of teams together and figure it out. In the NBA, you have the Lakers and they have a problem. The Lakers' problem is Russell Westbrook, right? In Chicago, you have a potential problem, and that is Zach LaVine, who is going to be an unrestricted free agent. He did not agree to a contract extension. They just had a really good year, their best year in a while, and he's an unrestricted free agent. And there's some thought that he's not necessarily going to say, I'm just locking in here in Chicago.
Yeah.
He might want to go to a different market, a chance to win a championship, whatever it is. This is his chance to make that move. So there could be that. And then, of course, there's always the Knicks, who are just perpetually trying to figure it out.
Trying to wait for somebody.
So Jay Will, our good friend from KJM, had me on this morning on the show and presented to me a trade proposal that he came up with that includes the Knicks, the Bulls, and the Lakers, and the three problems that I just presented to you. And I want you to listen to it, Bart, and everybody else listening out there, of course, as well. And let me know if you think that there's something to this one.
So say, hypothetically, Zach LaVine says, I want to force my way out of Chicago. I do not want to be here. I want to have a sign and trade. I want to go play with LeBron James in L.A. In return, L.A. gives Russell Westbrook 2027 first-round pick, and then say 2028 some kind of pick, second round, I don't know, whatever it is, because you made me informed in the first they can't give two back-to-back first-round picks year after year, right? But some other pick in addition to that.
Yep.
Then the Bulls will receive Julius Randle, Evan Fournier. I know it stinks for Chicago, but their hands will be forced. But ultimately, with $47 million contract coming on the payroll for the Knicks that comes off your book the following year, picks, you will be in prime position for the Knicks to go after and target a big-time free agent to build around with R.J. Barrett.
Your thoughts?
I mean, they're going to have to get creative, and if Jay Will, if I hear him right, is talking about like a three-team trade,
yes,
right, where you get everybody involved and somebody's ending up with Russell Westbrook and somebody's going to eat that.
Westbrook, and he has 1 year left.
Yeah, so it's like it's basically like –
he'll pick up his option, so he'll have the 1 year left, and he'll go to the Knicks. Yeah. The Knicks will also get, he's saying, two first-round picks for this. The Lakers would get Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Which you add him to Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
See, but this is what I'm
saying. And then what the Bulls get is if instead of just having Zach LaVine walk, you get Evan Fournier, they need 3-point shooting, and you get Julius Randle, who you put with Vucevic and DeMar DeRozan and company, and Lonzo Ball, and now you've got yourself that.
See, but this is what I hate. I hate scenarios where the Knicks pretty much get picks. Because at some point, those picks got to turn into something. What the hell? They got enough picks.
You're the third team in this whole thing. You're taking their problem, and you're taking it with the idea that in a year, that's cap space. That's almost $50 million in cap space. And for my troubles, you're giving me two first-round picks. That's, to me, value. It's not I'm waiting till 27 to take that pick. I can use that to trade and get me another player. I can use that and get me some pieces that can help accelerate the cost.
So this is the this is the OKC plan.
I don't like it as a plan A. I don't even like it as a plan B. But if I'm in the summer and nothing really has gone my way again, and I can't, like Donovan Mitchell trade ain't happening.
That's what I'm saying. You still have nothing.
Well, no. If nothing happens on that front, if nothing's happening in other places, I can't run back the same damn squad I put out last year because that squad, as you know, is mediocre.
I understand that.
So this is one option that I would consider just because it does help me get out from the Randle contract, the Fournier contract, and I get more picks.
And it allows Westbrook to kind of be who he wants to be.
And let Russ kind of
throw up shots.
For a Tom Thibodeau who loves him.
Yeah, let your arm fall
off. That's it. Go. Get after it. Get after it like crazy and be like, you know, just be the alpha you used to be when you were in Houston, when you were in Oklahoma City by yourself.
And so he can come here with his nipples out and go to Met Gala and wear skirts and do whatever he wants.
You know, he could if he likes.
But also, you know, it's like pairing him, you know, because I assume that, you know, if he's healthy, you re-sign Derrick Rose because you love him that much, right?
Well, Rose is already under contract.
But it's like Metaverse all over again. It's like Westbrook and Derrick Rose are the same person in Metaverse, different person, different galaxies and stuff. You know what I mean?
So does anybody like it? Does anybody hate it? Like I said, it's not an option A.
It's not a plan B.
It's
great for everybody except for the Knicks.
It's not terrible though if you have nothing else.
It's the least juicy for everybody but the Knicks.
Of course. You're the third team helping it out. That's what you are. And in this case, if there's just nothing else going on, I look at, like I said, I wouldn't jump at it, but it's not something I would say no to later in the summer. What do you say? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls. We also got Rally Rats, Big Bats, and a pretty cool gesture by a first-round pick. Talking jersey numbers again, Bart. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the calls. We have the New York Rangers playing what could be the last game of the season. I know Renee is already nervous. Just show me something. You're on your home ice. You were embarrassed in Pittsburgh, right? The defense was optional. I mean, that's a soft performance in Pittsburgh. So show something. Don't bow out on your home ice.
Yeah, man. Show some fight.
Because that, you know what this is looking like, by the way? Stop me if you've heard this one before. New York team has a season that no one expected. Has a couple of players that emerged, and you were like, wow, I didn't know he was that good.
Don't do it.
Then you get to the playoffs against an opponent that you've played pretty well against, and you're thinking, we got this. Then you lose the first game at home by like this much, hair, your chinny chin chin, just the close, it could have gone either way kind of game, and you feel like maybe a couple of calls didn't go your way in that one. But all right, you bounce back in game two and even the series with the kind of win that you felt like that's who we are.
Yeah.
Then you go on the road and you get smoked. You get, as Wally Szczerbiak likes to say, boat raced in the two games on the road, and you feel like, wow. And you drag your ass back home, and you think, all right, got our home crowd. We should be good. Let's get back into this thing. You lose in five. Did we hear that story once before?
I think I saw it in another sport last year.
In the same building, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's the Knicks season right there, and the Rangers are living that little bit of a nightmare right now. And if I'm the Rangers, I mean, seriously, you got to show me a heart. That team, show me a heart. Adam Fox is a Norris Trophy winning defenseman, but right now you're just a man because there's no defense in your damn name, Adam Fox. Mm. Like, you've got to step it up. Like, you've got – seriously, there's guys in his team. Everybody's pointing to young players and rattled and not – no. This is Zibanejad. This is everybody's show. This is Chris Kreider. You're the Julius Randle, by the way, Chris Kreider. You're the guy I'm talking about. 50 goals, great season, no one saw it coming, all that stuff is great. Where are you now?
Tell me, have you seen them?
So that has to happen. Meanwhile, the Mets win in Washington, they do so because of the rally rat.
Ink, ink.
The rat in D.C., and the Mets are excited. All kinds of great stuff going on. So,
are you not excited?
I'm watching hockey.
Are you not entertained?
Bart and Han.
Really? That's the highlight we want to go with? What about the Mets?
The voice of the Yankees.
0-2 coming down and getting...
Our friend
what
Michael
about the Mets?
Still at home. Yo,
they didn't walk
home.
Off.
Going home.
They didn't walk off.
Yeah, they didn't walk off, man.
But
it's not the judge.
But the Yankees...
It's not against I thought the Blue Jays were going to be this big bad team. They were talking all kinds of smack. They wanted all that smoke, didn't they? They were climbing up the chimney, weren't they?
But the Yankees didn't have a cute cuddly rat hopping. Hippity hop. Hibbity-hop.
He was.
Hibbity-hop. That thing was so cute. Like, but when you see that same rat or mouse in your house, you
only, the broom, you start smacking at
it. Get out of my house.
Or in the street.
It is so funny.
Get out of my cat.
You see it on a baseball field. Yeah. Like, oh, look at that rat. The rally rat.
Yeah, let one pop up.
Meanwhile, rally rat, the first thing you do is pop a cap in the rally rat if it's in your freaking house. Right?
I just wish a bald
Dolores,
eagle.
Dolores, get my shotgun!
I just wish a bald eagle would have came and picked him up. Because you'd have had the kids on the screen. Like, oh, look how cute.
It's Ben. We'll call it Ben. Talents come down.
Rally, he just ate the rally rat.
And there goes the Mets rally. But instead, the Mets did rally and they won. But Buster only tweeted this. Now, where are we at right now? We're not jinxing anything, right, Renee? The Yankees are playing another afternoon game. Where are we at right now?
The Yankees are playing another afternoon game up 5-2 against the Blue Jays.
What about Syndergaard, man? Didn't they have a no-hitter with the Angels?
The Angels had a no-hitter. It wasn't Syndergaard.
Oh, he was just...
Yeah. It was their young kid, but it was something. But they were batting lefty. Like, the Angels were making a mockery of this game. It was hilarious. Buster Olney, though, getting back on track. Buster Olney tweeted this yesterday or last night or this morning, actually, early this morning. Aaron Judge, last 11 games, not counting, obviously, today. I don't know what he's done today.
Yeah.
Batting .311, 11 runs scored, 6 home runs, 16 RBI.
Yeah. They'll pay the man. They'll pay him in his bag of hurt. After that. Right. It's amazing how great people are when money's on the line.
You know what, though? You're wrong, but you're not wrong. Like, I admit you're wrong, but you're not wrong.
$500 million. Ow, my back. Ow, my neck. David's my neck in my back.
David's in Tennessee. David, what'd you think of that little trade idea that Jay Will had?
Well, as a long-suffering Knicks fan, I hate it, but I can see the Knicks doing it because they love to pay guards who are way past their prime. Then they would get those two first-round picks and miss both of the picks and start all over again.
I mean,
just want to say I love the show and good luck in the basketball game, guys. Thanks.
Awesome. David, thank you. I mean, it's you're paying them for 1 year. It's not like,
should we get a rally rat? I'm sure we can find plenty of rally rats. It won't be that small.
We eat in this studio all the time. There's a rally rat at night somewhere.
Our rally rat would probably be like 8 pounds. Like that. It'd be Master Splinter.
Our rally rat has diabetes by now. Jason's in Michigan. Jason, what's up?
I wanted to make a prediction about Harden this coming year.
Okay, go ahead.
If Harden gets his way, Rivers gets fired, D'Antonio comes in, Harden gets to play Harden ball and pound the crap out of the ball, dribbling a million times.
Yeah.
I predict that by the end of January, Embiid is requesting a trade, and Harden is nowhere to be seen as he makes his disappearance trips off to the strip clubs.
Yikes. You know what, Jason? Which one, though? That's the thing. You always got to put your money down. I will say this, though. The D'Antoni rumors, of course, would sound like it makes sense because it's the threesome of Maury, D'Antoni, and Harden trying it one more time like they did in Houston. But I get a sense out of Philadelphia that Sam Cassell, who's on the bench as an assistant coach, is actually more in favor if they do move on from Doc. And if you watch that team last night, lifeless. It's his worst loss Doc has suffered as a coach in the playoffs. It just feels like it's coming to that inevitable end. Yeah. And then maybe they just elevate Sam Cassell because you want to make sure you're doing right for Joel Embiid. That's your franchise player, not Harden.
Yeah.
So that is something to keep
that
an
would
eye
be,
on.
If that did happen, that would be the end of the process. Like, it'd be no process.
I think the process is
it'd
over.
Be failed process. No, as long as Joel Embiid is there and he wins, he brings you a title. Listen, you talk about a team that hasn't won, what, since Moses Malone and
83.
Yeah, so Mo
Cheeks. They went to a final last time, obviously, with AI.
Yeah, but that's
the Lakers.
That's a long time. That's almost 40 years, right? So
40. 2001. With AI.
No. You said championship.
Well, the championship's 83.
Right.
Yes.
That's almost 40 years.
It is, literally. Yeah.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if they get that out of the process, they get the title. Listen, this is a team that, they got one with the Eagles and they are feeling great about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of those things where you got to say, is it worth it?
In the last 15 years, I guess, you've won a World Series or 12 years. You won a World Series, a Stanley Cup, and a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So one team is not showing up to the party.
Exactly.
And that would be the Sixers, who decided that losing a lot would be a great idea because it would lead to something great. It led to a really good player.
I feel like a champion, man, because Sally hugged me up, man.
You met John Sally today.
It's my dog. Spider! Right?
Like, we've had some day today. It's
been legendary, man. Mm. You never know who's going to step in the studio, son.
That's what I love about this show and where we are, where we're located, and what time we're on, all that stuff. You didn't ever have to buy a number, right? You never, when you came to the Jets, 57 was available?
Yeah, 57 was always available. Most teams, 57 is available.
Nobody really wants
that's
57.
That's a Scrubs number.
Is it really? 57?
57, 45, 30. Like, those are, you don't pick those numbers. They give them to you.
But number 5 is a pretty popular number, right? You'd say?
Yeah.
And now that position player, it doesn't matter. You can get any number you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so Adam Schefter tweeted this. To get number 5, Kayvon Thibodeau had to go to Graham Gano, the kicker.
Yeah.
Right? And, all right, what's it going to take to get this number? Because he really wanted his number 5.
Yeah.
So Graham Gano asked him to do this, and this is what Thibodeau did. He donated $50,000 to Puppies Behind Bars, provides service dogs for wounded war veterans and first responders, in addition to explosive detection canines for law enforcement. So 50 grand, but instead of like giving Graham Gano 50 grand. Graham Gano said, let's do something special with it. And he did. And so well worth the number 5.
And it's a good story. And guess what? He gets to write that $50,000 off. So, that's all
that
good
too.
You know what I mean? Tax write off, get a little deduction. You need deductions.
Yeah. So again, so Kayvon Thibodeau will get his number 5. And it's just another reason why we like Kayvon Thibodeau because we love the puppies, don't we?
We love the puppies.
We love them, right? Did you know Tim Legler brings his dog with him on the road, like when he's here in Seaport? He's got this little dog, and his dog's name is Guinness.
Hmm.
A dog named Guinness. And he just sits in the hotel room, behaves himself. Isn't that great?
Gets to go with daddy if he acts good.
Good boy, Guinness.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.